Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms, the 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, you and I may not know a whole lot about sheep and shepherds and flocks and the like, but those ancient words of David, those vivid images, stir up within our hearts some of our deepest longings and greatest desires, and that's to know God intimately and to be known by Him, to understand and to experience His loving care. What greater blessing could a human being have than to experience the guidance, the love, the comfort, the direction of the Lord God Creator as the shepherd of your soul? Jesus not only makes use of this imagery, but He appropriates it for Himself. In John chapter 10, verse 11, when He says, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's amazing how Jesus can teach some of the greatest and deepest concepts with some of the simplest of all of the images that could be used. Now, it's true, when Jesus first begins to talk about this, there's some misunderstanding by those who were there, but Jesus continues to talk. And before long, everyone then and everyone now who hears these words of Jesus knows exactly what Jesus is saying to them. And He expresses these amazing truths. We want to hear these words of Jesus, words about Himself, Jesus in His own words, from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Be reading from the English Standard Version. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? As we've come to expect, as we've listened to Jesus in the Gospel of John, when he makes these claims, they are deep and they are divisive to those who hear them. And there's so much that is being claimed by Jesus in John chapter 10 when he says, I'm the good shepherd. The first thing that he kind of lists or shows is that he is the true shepherd, or that he has legitimacy as the shepherd. He contrasts himself with thieves and robbers and hired hands. And Israel has had their share of such leaders, kings and elders and false prophets, leaders of Israel who for centuries have often exploited the people of God for their own power, their own fame, for their own position. And Jesus denounces them, and he sets himself apart from those. If you have time this afternoon, read Ezekiel chapter 34, where God denounces these false shepherds of Israel, these shepherds who plunder the flock, these shepherds who just live off of the flock and don't really care at all about the people, but are just in their position for what they can get out of it. Jesus says, these are the kind of people who climb up over the wall to get in control. They don't own the sheep. This isn't their flock. They're usurpers. They come in, and when trouble comes, they run away. They're going to save their own skin because they don't really care about the sheep at all. The true shepherd enters by the door. The gatekeeper knows him. He opens up the gate. He opens up the door. He comes in and he calls his sheep out by name, and they know him and they hear his voice, and they won't follow a stranger because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. And when Jesus talks here about being the true shepherd, the legitimate shepherd over Israel, he may have in mind both those who lived long before him, those in the centuries who were the false leaders and those who exploited God's people. He may also have in mind some of his own day. Maybe some of those that we've read about earlier in chapter 9, those who used their power over the people, not because of a concern for the people, but false leaders in Israel who only exploit the people of God and have no real concern for the people themselves. There have always been religious leaders like this. Religious leaders who look to their position as a position of power, as a position of control, where they may exploit people of faith to build their own personal empire, or perhaps to impose their own personal will over a group of people, to look for something out of it. They're not there because they love the flock, but because they can get something from the flock. And when you and I hear these words about hearing the voice of the shepherd, I also, it makes me think about all of the voices that call out to us in the world. How many voices there are in our world that call out to us and say, oh, come this way, live this way, this is the way to live. How many people hear those voices and take wrong turns in their way and lose themselves, caught up in things that are just destructive? But Jesus is the legitimate shepherd, the true shepherd. And shepherd, to be the shepherd of Israel, it's not just this word that speaks about relationship and knowledge, which we'll get to in just a moment. But the shepherd of Israel is the true ruler of Israel. The shepherd of Israel is Israel's sovereign leader. And when Jesus makes this statement, he is making a claim to be the true, legitimate ruler, shepherd, leader over the people of God. Not to profit from them, but to serve them. But then throughout this entire passage, we see not only legitimacy, but we see the intimacy that the shepherd has with the sheep. We see the relationship and how Jesus emphasizes that relationship as the good shepherd. We hear echoes of Psalm 23 in John chapter 10. We hear about a shepherd who knows his sheep, who calls them by name, and they come out and he leads them and he gives them life abundantly. He knows his sheep. And that word know is so much deeper than just, oh yeah, I know him. It's like, it's to have a true, intimate knowledge of and a relationship with. You know, we've all read about the shepherds of the Eastern world at this point in time, and they would, maybe several shepherds would bring their sheep into a communal pen, and the shepherds knew their sheep by name. They knew their sheep. They could call their sheep by name. And when the sheep were in the pen, they would hear their shepherd's voice and they would come out. They would call and they would follow their shepherd. They would hear his voice. They would obey that voice. They would follow his lead. because they recognized him as their true shepherd, as the shepherd who knew them and who would care for them. And we hear these words of Jesus and we just start to reflect about our own lives, our own faith. Jesus knows my name. Jesus knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows your life. He knows your fears. He knows your hurts. He knows right now the struggles that you're going through in your life. He knows those things. He knows your fears. He knows what's causing you anxiety. He knows that about us. He knows our hearts. The Lord Jesus knows us that intimately. He knows us through and through. And I confess, I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. I'm a sheep. Now, look at that sheep. Sheep, they're cute. I mean, it's hard to beat a sheep for cute. That thing is cute, but it's dumb. You know, and that's kind of like me. I'm not so sure about the cute part, but the dumb part, you know. I look at that little sheep, I'm like, bleh. I mean, just like, you know, you just look at the look on the face. It's like just totally no recognition of what's going on around it. I know, you know, we're people. We have our minds. We have our wills. We sometimes do things that are right. But look back over your life. Think about the times you've strayed. Think about the times in your life where you got off into something you should have never gotten off the path to deal with. Where you just got deceived, where you got pulled away. Think about times in your life when you haven't had the spiritual food that you've needed to sustain you. When you've been weak, or when you've been afraid, or when there's been some danger in your life. Something that was threatening you. Something of a physical nature, something of a spiritual nature. I just so identify with the sheep. I'm helpless. I recognize that. I need a guide. I truly do. In life, I need a guide. I mean, we all have plans. We read the Bible. We know what to do. It's God gives us that direction, but I need a personal guide to direct me every day of my life, to feed me, to sustain me, to help me when I'm afraid. I confess I have a need for a shepherd, someone who watches over me, someone who knows me through and through, who helps me with each step of life, who guides me every day through everything that's going on. I think of people in our world today who are like sheep without a shepherd, people who don't have anyone to look to, people who don't have the Lord to guide them, to lead them, to sustain them, to feed them from His Word, to lead them in the right path, to show them the right pathway to walk in life. Doesn't your heart break for folks who don't know the Lord Jesus as their shepherd, who have no one to guide them, no one who can show them the way? And people get off the path, and people are going down all sorts of roads and looking in all sorts of ways and get into all kinds of trouble, peril for their souls, because it's our soul that's at stake when we're talking about this. This is the shepherd of our souls. And people who live their entire life and never really know what life was about because they never knew the shepherd who could teach them and lead them and feed them and guide them and protect them and show them the way to walk, show them the way to live, show them the life that really mattered. We need the shepherd who loves us and knows us and guides us and protects us. And this relationship that we can have with Jesus, Jesus gives us an idea here in this text of the intimacy He longs to have with you and me. He says, I know my own and my own know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus said, I want you to come into a relationship with me that's like the relationship I have with my Father. This full relationship of knowledge, of knowing one another, of being in fellowship with each other. And Jesus calls us in to that relationship. And it's amazing that it's our God, our Savior, who says, this is what I want with you. This is, I'm the good shepherd. This is what I'm after. This is what I'm offering you. And we go on later in the text. We're going to read it in context in a few moments, but in verse 26, Jesus, speaking to some who don't believe in Him, say, you don't believe in me because you're not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you want that relationship with Jesus, you've got to hear His voice. You've got to follow Him. You've got to listen to Him. You've got to get behind your shepherd as He goes out before you in your life and stay in step with Him and be obedient to Him. That's the basis for that relationship. It's a two-way relationship here. It's saying I'm turning a deaf ear to those other voices in the world that would call me, and I'm going to listen to the voice of my Savior. I'm going to listen to the voice of Jesus, and I will obey Him. I'll follow Him. I will do His will. And He promises that there is security in that relationship. He says in verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one can take you or me out of the grip of Jesus as our shepherd. No one, no outside power can do this. There is security in this relationship as we trust Him, as we follow Him, as we hear His voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Security. But Jesus takes us deeper into this relationship as He explains how this is happening. How do we receive this guidance? How do we receive this life? What does our shepherd do? And He talks about His self-sacrifice. I am the good shepherd, He says. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. We all know, have heard stories at least about this from the time we were little, about how shepherds protect their sheep. And if there are predators, the shepherd is out there on the front line to keep those sheep safe. The stories of David in the Old Testament. A lion and a bear. He kills a lion and a bear in defense of his flock. Those are pretty big predators. And David is willing to do that. He's willing to stand between the danger and his flock. And he's willing to fight. He's willing to slay those predators. And at first, that might be what we think of when we hear this word of Jesus. I lay down my life for the sheep. David didn't lay down his life for the sheep. David killed for the sheep. David killed the predators of the sheep. Yes, he was willing to step into that danger, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus isn't talking about doing his best and then, I'm going to lose my life in this process. Jesus says, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. He says it in verse 11. He says it in verse 15. He says it in verse 17. He says it in verse 18. I'm guessing it's pretty important to the text, isn't it? If Jesus says it three or four times, that this is what makes him the good shepherd, because he lays down his life for the sheep. He says, that's why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I have this commandment from the Father. No one takes my life from me. Jesus just doesn't stand between danger and his flock and hope maybe he can overcome. The way that he overcomes is he purposefully lays down his life for the sheep. Because he knows that's the only way to bless his sheep, to give his sheep life, to forgive his sheep, to direct his sheep in the way that they need to go. If you want to see the good shepherd, you see Jesus as the good shepherd when he goes to the cross, when he goes to Calvary, when he gives up his life, when he lays down his life for us and gives himself up for us as he lays down his life for the sheep, for you, for me. He does nothing to avoid the cross. He fixes his eyes on his redemptive purpose and he moves to Calvary. He walks to Calvary. He goes there purposefully because he knows it is the only way to bring about the forgiveness of his people, to bring about the ultimate security of his flock. And he hands himself over to those who will bind his body to that accursed tree, and he'll shed his blood. And he'll give his life for his sheep. This is how good a shepherd Jesus is. He lays down his life for the sheep. He goes all the way to the cross for us. At the cross, our shepherd becomes the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And as we think of that cross, perhaps the words of Isaiah come to our minds. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We're all sheep. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. Because he takes our iniquity upon himself. All of our sin, our brokenness, all that we've done, all that we failed to do. He takes it upon himself and he pays that price for us. And even in these words that Jesus speaks, there's, you notice the mention, I have other sheep. There's other sheep here. He's talking to the sheep of the house of Israel, but Jesus, even here in John 10, recognizes there's more. There's the Gentiles to bring in, and they're going to hear his voice one day, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd, because Jesus brings about the forgiveness of sins for all who'll put their trust in him. And here in the shepherd, we see God's grace redeeming us, loving us, caring for us, seeking us. I once was lost. That's what sheep sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Our shepherd paid the price for us. He brought us back into the fold. The good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And when I consider what Jesus did in that role as my shepherd, I think, Richard, how could you ever be so foolish as to listen to anybody else's voice? How could you ever think any of those other voices out in the world are the right voice or the true voice or the way you ought to go? How could you ever doubt your shepherd who laid down his life for you and calls you to follow? The reason, the deeper reason yet, that his death is so powerful, that his leadership over us as our shepherd is so true and pure and sovereign. The very basis that his care can be so loving and beneficial to us is because of what really lies at the heart of the claim to be the good shepherd. Because at the heart of the claim is a claim for divinity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 77, verse 20, God leads his flock out of Egypt like a shepherd. In Psalm 80, verse 1, there is this cry, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." We all know Psalm 100, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Or in Ezekiel, when God denounces the evil shepherds of Israel, God says, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down," declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Let me ask you this. Who is the shepherd of Israel? Who is the shepherd that leads Israel out of bondage into freedom? Who is the shepherd of Israel who leads them through the wilderness? Who is the shepherd who makes them lie down in green pastures, who leads them beside the quiet waters? Who is the shepherd who will take them away from the false shepherds and rescue them and gather them from every place that they've been scattered and lead them into life? Every Jew in the first century knows the answer to that question. Everyone listening to Jesus knows the answer to that question just as we do. Yahweh is the shepherd of Israel. The Lord God, the Almighty God of Israel, he is the shepherd of Israel. He is the true shepherd. All others are false shepherds. He is the true shepherd. He is the shepherd that leads and guides his people. And then Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." Think about, I am. I am the shepherd of Israel. I am the shepherd of the people of God. Can we imagine what that must have sounded like? We think, well, wait, maybe he didn't mean it that way. Did Jesus really understand that he was claiming something here? Some kinship with God Almighty? Do you think the people thought that that's what he meant? Do you think the people heard that in the words that he had to say? Well, you know, if you read on just a little bit later in the text, you'll see that that's exactly what they understood Jesus to be saying. They knew what this meant. This is much more than saying, "Oh, I'm just a real nice guy who's going to take care of you. And when you're down, I'm going to be the shepherd. I'm going to be your go-to." This is going to the crux of the matter and a claim to be God. We go on reading in John chapter 10, verse 24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you don't believe because you're not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It's not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." And he does. If you put yourself back in that moment in John chapter 10, you either kill Jesus or you fall down and worship him. That's it. Those are your choices. This is blasphemy. They understand no one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is a claim far beyond being some sub-shepherd under a prophet or something. This is a claim that Jesus is making for divinity. Yahweh is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and my Father and I are one." And there it is. In every one of these claims, that's what it keeps coming back to in the Gospel of John. Jesus just goes straight for it. He just comes out and says it to them. Yahweh was their shepherd, and now Jesus claims to be their shepherd. And he is. He is God. He is God in the flesh. And we struggle to understand the triune nature of God. We admit that we struggle to understand it because it's in so many ways beyond us. And yet it's biblically the case. And by faith we accept it. There is one God. He is Father. He is Son Jesus. He's Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, that's who I am. This is who I am. The one who stands before these people in John chapter 10 makes this claim, and they're ready to take his life. It divided the people, didn't it? Back in verse 19, some are saying, "Well, I don't know. Sounds like a demon-possessed guy to me." Are you kidding this day? Are you kidding? How can this guy? That doesn't sound like a demon. He gave sight to the blind, which happens just prior in chapter 9. So the statement, as it always does, these statements of Jesus drive a wedge between people. He really doesn't leave you any choice. We know what's coming. They do kill him. You either kill Jesus or you worship Jesus. I think in the Gospel of John, you fall down and say, "My Lord and my God," or you try to nail him to a tree. That's the only choice he gives you because of the amazing claims that he makes. And you and I, centuries later, sitting here today, are so blessed that the Lord God is our shepherd. He's my shepherd. But Jesus, the Lord, knows my name. And he knows what's going on in my life. And he knows right now what I'm concerned about. He sees those things down the road that are troublesome to me, that I'm wondering about. He understands those things. He sees them. He guides me every day. He guides us. He feeds me in his word. I'm able to draw near to him in prayer through him to the Father and come into a relationship with the Father and with the Son and through the Spirit to step into this relationship that's such a blessing for us every day. We live in the reality of these claims that Jesus is our shepherd. And with all the disorienting voices in this world and with people who just don't even know what life is all about, here I am. How blessed am I that I have Jesus Christ as my shepherd who goes before me, who says, "Richard, this is life. This is what's important. This is how you're to live. This is who you are. This is where I'm going. This is where the world's going. You can find your life and your purpose in that. I'm your shepherd. Lead. Let me lead you. Listen to my voice. Hear me. Follow me. Obey me. Don't get off the path. Don't listen to those other voices. And as we follow him, we come into that pasture, those quiet waters. We don't fear even in the valley of the shadow of death because he's with us. This is more than just a concept out of the scriptures. This is a living relationship that you and I can have with God and with his son Jesus Christ that makes every difference in the world. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Is he your shepherd? Have you put your faith in this shepherd as the true shepherd of your soul? Do you look to his death on the cross as the very sacrifice for your sins? Do you put your trust in that blood, the blood of your shepherd who became a lamb, essentially offered himself up for us, laid down his life for us? Do you put your faith in the cross and his blood? Have you by faith been united with his death and burial and resurrection and been washed in his blood, as in faith you were baptized into Christ? Have you come into that relationship with him and live every day as one of his, as his own? If you've not yet made that decision in your life, think about where the other voices, the other shepherds, the other leaders take you, and look to Jesus and see the wisdom for life that he offers. Understand who he truly is and how he longs to do nothing but to give you life and to lead you in the right direction. Don't be deceived by those voices, but listen to the one who really loves you. He gave his life for you and for me. That's the extent of the shepherd's love. How can we doubt him? How could we turn away? How could we listen to anyone else? And for those of us who've made that commitment to follow Jesus as shepherd, are we doing so? Are we being faithful to that commitment? I know we're all going to say, well, sure I am. But are you really listening to his voice? Am I listening to the voice of Jesus in my life today? Am I doing what he tells me to do? Am I being obedient to his word? Am I really following the path that he sets out before me through the word of God? Or do I continue to try to go my own way and make my own way in this world? Or do I completely give my life over to him? We sang a few moments ago, here, Lord, I give myself away. It's all I can do. Am I doing that? Am I giving myself away? Am I giving myself to the control of the shepherd of my soul? Am I obeying him? Because when you and I do that, it's just like what David experienced it, isn't it? In Psalm 23. All of those things are real to us. We experience them ourselves. The quiet waters, the green pastures, the lack of fear, everything we need. Being led to the house of the Lord. All of those blessings are ours. Not even the valley of the shadow of death can frighten us, because we know no one can snatch us out of his hand. No one can take us away from Jesus. We'll dwell with him forever. Today, as we hear Jesus in his own words, let's believe and act upon them. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. If you've heard his voice, follow him. Obey him. Let him lead you in your life and know the blessing that can only come when the Lord is your shepherd. And stand together. Sing a song of encouragement.